Welcome to season 4, episode 5 of the How to Build a Sustainable Music Career and Collect All Revenue Streams podcast. I'm your host, author and entrepreneur, Emily White. This podcast is based on my best-selling book of the same name. And I've been traveling around the UK on a live podcast tour where we're taking you through the entire modern music industry from recording to release or creation to execution, while ensuring that artists and those that support them aren't missing any revenue streams along the way. So today, we're going to cover music publishing isn't scary or confusing, plus how to land a sync placement. We're here at beautiful Newcastle College, thanks to Alice and Generator, where I'll be bringing out Stephen Brains and Patrick Topping shortly. But first, massive thanks to The Word from the Ivers Academy. Supercharge your knowledge and career in the music business and in the live environment with 14-day Kickstarters, 12-week boot camps, and a fully validated diploma. All online, maximum flexibility, maximum impact. Get more info at The Word, that's WRD.UK. Okay, so what have we covered so far? I started up in Bradford, where we talked with artist Sinead Campbell on getting your art together, right? Because there's no point in moving on to future episodes or future chapters if you're not making art that's true to your heart, your soul, and your spirit. That's what's going to connect with folks for the long term. After that, we went to Cambridge and talked about pre-recording marketing foundation and monetizing your music before it's even out, while ensuring your text and email lists are in place so you can do that. From there, we went on to Nottingham and discussed how it's crucial that you sort out how everyone is being compensated before you hit the studio. So that was getting your business affairs together. We also chatted with Church Studios' head engineer this past weekend on how to record with or without a budget. So we did that down in London. However, before you get to distributing your music, it's crucial that you ensure your songs are registered so you're not missing any income on your songwriting. And note that this is the number one missing revenue stream I see when I'm talking to artists of all ages and at all stages of their careers. So, and I'm also going to touch today on how to set yourself up to increase chances of landing sync placements. Sync is short for synchronization, which is going to be songs in film, TV, adverts, video games, all that good stuff. So I'm just going to give the briefest lecture possible on that, and then we're going to bring our esteemed guests out. Okay, so first, what is music publishing? Actually, let me ask, who here is a musician? Oh, we've got the brothers here. Okay, love it. Stephen's mom is a musician. Fantastic. Who here is an industry person? Who here is a fan of Patrick Topping? Okay, cool. So, there's two main rights in music. Do you guys remember what the two main rights in music are by any chance? Not to put you on the spot.
We've just done a module on them as well, but I couldn't tell you.
A whole module. And all you need to know is there is the recording side and there's the songwriting side. Okay? So the next question is, what is music publishing? And this is, you know, music publishing is something that has sent fear into the bones of countless artists and industry folks who are older than me. I point out the two main rights in music, recording and publishing, because most people know what a record company's job is in theory for a recording. A record company's job is to go out and push that recording, get it as much work as possible in the form of, you know, radio play, sync, sales, download streams, all that good stuff, and then collect all the money that's owed to it. That's all music publishing is for your songwriting. A music publisher's job is to go out and push your song, get it as much work as possible, you know, in the form of covers, streams, syncs, all that good stuff, and then collect all the money that's owed to the songwriter for it. That's it. It's nothing to freak out about, nothing to run over the hills about. I was speaking at a conference once, and I asked an audience of artists and songwriters if they could define music publishing. No one could, and someone meekly raised their hand and said, the hour-long panel before you was on music publishing, right? So hopefully I helped to demystify that a little bit. All it is going out and working your song, working the songwriting side, and getting all the money that you're owed to for it. So how do you get the money, right? The first step is to sign up for a performing rights organization. And here in the UK, that's going to be PRS. And if you don't sign up, if you don't register your songs with PRS, which within 2.5 years of the songs being released, you never get that money, okay? So I spoke to a group of students before this, and I would say almost a third, they were all songwriters, they were all artists, and almost a third of them had not signed up for PRS. Most of them just hadn't gotten around to it. In the US, I hear from students for some, you know, I hear about unnecessary fear, right? Well, I don't want to sign my publishing away. That's not what this is, okay? PRS collects money for your songwriting that is regulated by the government and is owed to you, so go out and get it, okay? And all the students that I spoke to before said they were going to go get it because they didn't know about the 2.5 years thing. So go get that taken care of. Now, like I said, the number one missing revenue stream I see when talking to artists is music publishing, and here's why. This is the other thing I want you to take away. Hopefully you know what music publishing is now. If you are just signed up for a performing rights organization, which is PRS in the UK, and you are not collecting on your music publishing in any other way, then you are missing income. You are not getting all of your music publishing. And this is actually really understandable because if I was a songwriter, when I go to register and sign up with PRS, they're going to take a song that I wrote 100% and say, okay, you're Emily White, the songwriter, but also why don't you create a publishing designee and become Emily White Publishing, right? They're going to divide that into two. So it's totally understandable when I meet artists and songwriters and I say, how are you collecting on your music publishing? And they say, oh, I'm with PRS. Or in the United States, oh, I'm with ASCAP. Oh, I'm with BMI. Let me repeat, if you are just signed up with your performing rights organization, which is PRS in the UK, and your music is being covered, streamed, sold, any of the above, which is pretty much everyone, then you are missing out on money. So how do you get it? There is a really wonderful company called Songtrust that now exists that has completely democratized music publishing. In the pre-digital era, you would have to sign a publishing deal. And really, in most deals, you know, prior to the year 2000, you would be signing your rights away. And I think that's why there can be a lot of fear, understandably, and horror stories around music publishing. But most of the musicians here know that you can, for example, distribute your music through TuneCore, DistroKid, CD Baby. That's all Songtrust is on the publishing side. It is completely democratized music publishing. And now, anyone can go out and collect their music publishing in full. It was founded by the principals at Downtown Music Publishing, who handle the publishing for Imogen Heap, J. Cole, John Lennon's catalog. So you now have access to the same mechanisms that those artists and the Lennon estate does, as opposed to just hoping that some music publisher is going to find you in a club here in Newcastle and sign you to a publishing deal. So anyone can go collect on their music publishing in full with Songtrust. There is like a 70, 80 pound fee to get going. Personally, I don't totally love that. But if you poke around online, you can, you know, there's plenty of discount codes and promo codes to reduce that fee. And then from there, you own your rights and you receive 85% of that additional money that's owed to you for music publishing. And they receive a 15% commission. I believe it's a one-year term, and you can get out of it after a year if you want to move on to a music publisher, which is another way to collect on that income. And there's two main types of publishing deals. There's an admin deal or administrative deal where you own the rights, and that's, you know, the Songtrust terms very much mirror an admin deal. So this is all negotiable on the admin deal end, but, you know, it's going to be anywhere from 85-15 in your favor, 90-10, maybe 80-20. If you would like in advance, you know, maybe they offer you 85-15 and you would like a 5,000 pound cash advance, they might say, yeah, we can do that, but we're going to need to do an 80-20 split so we can recoup that faster. as you build up more leverage, say, you know, Max Martin, who wrote Britney Spears hits and a million more pop tracks, I've been told his admin deal is 99% in his favor, 1% to the publishing company, because 1% of the publishing administration on all of those massive global pop hits is a lot of money. The other option is a co-pub or co-publishing deal. And in that instance, only do a co-pub deal if they are giving you a life-changing advance. Because a co-pub deal is going to take a portion of your copyright for a very long time, if not in perpetuity. What does perpetuity mean? Forever. That's exactly right. So I had a friend of mine named Dan, he's a producer, come to me one day. He said, hey, I just got offered this publishing deal. It's a 2,000 pound advance. Can I hire you to, you know, negotiate it for me? And I said, sure. Actually, really, an attorney should be negotiating. He wanted me to consult on it, but it was very basic and straightforward. So, you know, it was a co-publishing deal for 2,000 pounds for 20 years of his copyright. And if you do the math on that, that's going to be like 100 pounds a year. I knew Dan didn't really need the money, but even if he did, I'd be like, go work at a coffee shop or something, right? You can get that money a different way without relinquishing your copyright for that amount of time. He wanted to negotiate the deal himself. He just wanted me to tell him what to do. So I said, go back to them and see if they'll do an admin deal, because 2,000 pounds for an admin deal is really reasonable, and if not, ask them to increase the advance if they only do co-pub deals. Well, they don't do admin deals, so they immediately came back with a 10,000 pound advance, which of course is 5 times higher than what they initially offered. I still didn't think that was enough money. What is that, like 500 pounds a year over the 20 years or whatever? But that was good enough for Dan, and he closed the deal and was good to go. So that's why it's really important for you to understand the difference between an admin publishing deal and a co-publishing deal. But you also don't even have to worry about that, because you can just go sign up for SongTrust and have access to a world-class admin deal. So you also want to submit your set lists to PRS. That's something that's changed over the years. It used to be a formula back in the day that, you know, like Paul McCartney would get the most money or whatever, but now you can fill out your set list and upload them to PRS's website to make sure you're getting paid for that. Also, when you sign up for PRS, only do so once at your one person, your one songwriter. So even if you start a new band, group, moniker, you're still one songwriter, right? So it's not going to let you sign up more than once. It's going to ask for all your, you know, personal details, and it's going to recognize that you're already in the system, but, you know, just to save you some time there. And also, not to jump around too much, but when you're distributing your music through, you know, TuneCore and CD Baby in particular, there's a really attractive box that says, want to make more money? Check this box. I mean, it's more specific than that, but that's basically, you know, what it's saying. And you are letting them administer your music publishing for you. Now, I know that Downtown owns CD Baby and SongTrust, and so CD Baby utilizes SongTrust, and you might think, oh, well, that's nice, you know, it's everything, you know, is all taken care of, but CD Baby is going to charge a slightly higher percentage for you to access that. And also, if you have your publishing administered by CD Baby, you know, for this release, but then you distribute through TuneCore next time, or you're signed to an indie label and then maybe you switch to DistroKid, your publishing is going to be all over the place, okay? This stuff is already convoluted enough. It's really nice to have your music publishing streamlined, organized in one place, and that's why I'm a big fan of SongTrust. And last thing on that, and then I'll talk on sync, and we'll bring our guests out. When you sign a publishing deal, that's actually when it's time to get to work. And that might be surprising, because these folks have been taking you out to dinner and telling you what an amazing songwriter you are. They definitely think that, but they also have thousands of copyrights and thousands of artists to look after. So you're going to want to email them at the top of the week, like once a month, with your latest and greatest highlights. Here's my upcoming gigs. You always have access to the guest list on that. So do music supervisors. Music supervisors are the folks that make the decisions on the songs that go into film, TV, etc. and make sure, you know, they always have access to the guest list as well. Here are press hits I'm getting. You want to stand out amongst your fellow songwriters and also make your music publisher's life as easy as possible. Not have them digging around through emails or focused on something else, right? So just once a month is fine. And if you can't send those emails on a Monday or Tuesday, there's great free programs like Boomerang for Gmail, where you can schedule those emails so they land at a more opportune time. Okay, so I'm just going to talk about how you can best set yourself up to land sync placements. The first thing you want to do is make sure you have instrumentals of all of your music. You know, when you think about it, like 80% of music that's synced doesn't have lyrics because there's dialogue going on, right? So make sure you have instrumentals for your music. Make sure you get those instrumentals mastered. That's a really nice thing to have them stand out. And even if your producer says they're going to get you instrumentals, you might have to remind them, okay? So it's really important to do that. For your songs with lyrics, you want to make sure that you have clean versions of everything so it can get played on TV and things like that. And also have a PDF ready to go of all your lyrics because music supervisors are going to want to check that out as well. Okay, so how do you get rolling with sync pitching? There are websites like Free Music Archive and Creative Commons where artists can upload their songs and the license is, you know, folks can license their music for free, but hear me out on this. And they kind of, you know, they can give money too, right? It might be a low budget documentary, student film, but the license is that the artist has to get credit. When the artist isn't credited, that's when they get really upset. But I met an artist who landed over 10,000 syncs through Creative Commons and Free Music Archive. And this not only drove so much traffic to his Spotify that he pays his rent, his bills, his food, all his expenses with his streaming income only. And how many artists can say that? Would you guys like to be doing that? Are the brothers here in the front? Yes. The other thing that's happened is sometimes there's music supervisors working on lower budget projects, so they will discover artists on Free Music Archive and Creative Commons for those lower budget projects, and then I've seen those music supervisors like fall in love with those artists and go back to them when they have a bigger budget, you know, for a Hollywood film. So that's a great entry point. I really think that just about every artist who owns their rights should be on those platforms. The other entry point are music libraries, and those are going to be companies that are open to everyone as well, like Jingle Punks, Rumblefish, Scout Music, and BeatPick. Those companies take up to a 50% commission. Obviously, read all the fine print, but generally with music libraries, you own your music. Now, they very often retitle your songs, and what that means is they are going to take a cut of your PRS income, which, of course, I don't personally love, but hear me out. We all have to start somewhere. I was managing a brand new band years and years ago, and I set them up with one of the music libraries. And they also take a very big commission. They take like a 50% commission, plus I'm taking 15, 20% as a manager. Like it adds up very quickly. But the band's first sync was a 15,000 pound advert for headache medicine. And really anything that's a drug ad should be quite a bit more. And like I said, that's going to get cut down really quick. But again, hear me out. We all have to start somewhere. That ad ended up getting played on the Baseball World Series in prime time on a major network in the United States. And so the artist's PRS royalties were over six figures. In addition, they owned the recording side. So all the streaming and download income came directly to them. So that, you know, after commission, 6,000 pound sync or whatever turned into over six figures. And again, read all the fine print with the music libraries, but I was able to get them out of that very quickly and go do a lucrative publishing deal with them, right? So I do think those options are great entry points for when you're starting your career. Whether you are established or starting your career, you can also send your music to more selective sync companies. That's going to be like Terrorbird, Zinc Music, Music Alternatives, Bank Robber. That's going to be roughly 75% in your favor, you own the rights, and 25% in their favor. I have a lot of friends at these companies, and they have very specific ears, and they know exactly what they are looking for and what they can place. do not be offended if they can't place your music. I've worked with big, beloved artists that my friends there will say, like, music supervisors love this artist or love this band. They want to be on the guest list. They're fans. But the music is too weird, or it stands out, or whatever. And again, we're talking about sync, synchronization. It doesn't sync to picture. I've also worked with artists that people have never heard of that absolutely crush it on sync because their music is extremely syncable, right? So it's worth reaching out to those folks, but don't be offended, you know, if it's not the right fit. And then, of course, there's also publishing companies. You know, we talked about admin and co-pub deals. They'll be pitching you to sync. And if you're signed to a label or even a distributor, they may be pitching you to sync as well, because there are two sides of music. It's a very 20th century thing, but it's still real. So say you get a 1,000-pound sync, 500 pounds is going to go to whoever owns the recording, hopefully you, and the other 500 pounds is going to go to the songwriters, right? So that's why labels are pitching, distributors are pitching, so are music publishers. So one last thing, and then I'll bring out Stephen and Patrick. Especially with the music library companies, many of those companies are non-exclusive, and so it can be really attractive, or at least it was to me as a very young manager, like, oh, who wouldn't want multiple people, you know, pitching my artists? Like, the more the merrier. Well, the music industry is small, and the music supervision and sync community is even smaller. So I had a young band years and years ago up for like a 30,000-pound film trailer, and two different companies had pitched it. Now, music supervisors are at the behest of directors, producers, budgets, timelines. They don't have time for any sort of unorganization. So when this music supervisor saw that two companies had pitched the same song, she's like, bye, I'm out. I'm moving on to something that's easier. So it might be, again, to me, it was very attractive initially to think like, ooh, who wouldn't want, you know, five people pitching my artist? But really focus in on one, build a relationship there. Like I said, offer them guest lists, maybe offer to come play their office if it's nearby or you're on tour, maybe even do a webcast. Really build that relationship and go from there instead of spreading yourself out too thin. So thank you, especially to the Patrick fans who are not necessarily musicians, for sitting in that. You can share that with the musicians in your life. I'm super excited, if they're ready, to bring out Stephen and Patrick. Let's welcome Stephen Brains and Patrick Topping to the show.